Testing one. Okay. Can you hear that? Is that coming through all right?
Can I just ask everyone to take the positions, please? Yeah, hands on your head. Stop breathing.
On a réuni les deux chairs au triangle, à la triangulaire. Donc il y a Evan à gauche et Charles à droite. Donc, là, on a chacun ligne de mire directe, c'est bon. Direct, c'est bon.
Your matinal exercise.
Well, you know, I was awake at 5 o'clock. So.
I think we can start.
I think Sergio is out of the room.
He's here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. This is the first at-large meeting of the week in a long series of at-large meetings that we're going to have. Great fun and entertainment here at ICANN. Number, is it 40? I just wanted to start with a few housekeeping rules. The first one being that if I do give you the floor, I will say your name, but then you have to repeat your name afterwards. I know it's not very spontaneous, but it's for transcript purposes, and it makes it easier later on for other people to be able to make sense about who was speaking and what was going on. Another rule is si nous parlons dans une autre langue que l'anglais, nous pouvons parler l'espagnol ou le français. Il y a des headsets. Je ne sais pas comment ça se dit en français. Des écouteurs. Voilà, des écouteurs. Je suis désolé. Il y a des écouteurs pour tout le monde. Et attendez peut-être quelques secondes parce que...
You might want to wait a few minutes. Technology is requires a little a delay from one language to another. So if you... Same thing...
La même chose en...
With what we are saying. So thank you for them and for that. I think we can start now with the first order of the day, which is the work team... okay, well, Heidi wants a couple of seconds of housekeeping.
Okay, well, welcome, everyone. We're very happy to see you at the San Francisco meeting. I'm also very pleased to be able to announce that we have our full at-large team with us here this week for most of the days. So first off, I'd like, of course, Matthias, and you know Matthias will be leaving at the end of this week. Matthias? Yeah? Whoa. We also, of course, have our Gisela, which we would be lost without. So we have Gisela here all week. For the first time, we have Seth Green with us. So you'll know him if you're working on the at-large improvements. He'll be with us today through Thursday. So welcome, Seth. I mean, we also, she's not here at the moment, but we have Marilyn Vernon, who you will know. She's the one who sends out a lot of the call announcements. So she'll be with us today through tomorrow as well. So she is a help. She helps us with some of the logistics of that. And then I'm going to pass it over to Gisela to talk a little bit about the working lunch that we have today. Cheryl will be leading that, but there are just some logistics for you to keep in mind before that lunch.
So if for the working lunch, everyone can just, before we start, just run down to the lobby and get a sandwich or whatever you'd like to eat and bring it up here. We've tried our best to get food in here, but it's absolutely impossible. So if you can just grab your food and come back as soon as possible so that we don't waste time on the meeting, please. That's
it. Thank you very much. And the first thing we'll do, perhaps, is a quick roundtable with everyone, starting from Evan, giving their name and affiliation. Thank you. With the microphone, that's another point of the day, yes. Speak in the microphone.
Very first thing. Good morning. My name is Evan Leibovich. I'm an ALAC representative from the North American region and vice chair of ALAC.
Edmund Chung from AP Rollo, ISOC Hong Kong.
I'm Wolf Ludwig. I'm from URALO.
My name is Sandra Hofrichter. I'm from URALO and Medienstadt Leipzig.
I'm Hong Xue, AP Rilo, from Beijing, China. At large structure is at large in China.
Hi, my name is Carlton Samuels. I'm from the ALAC. I'm from the Caribbean, Jamaica specifically.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Devan Antilak Singh from Trinidad and Tobago, LAC RALO Secretariat.
My name is Andres Piazza from Argentina. I'm LAC RALO Chair.
Darlene Thompson from Canada, North American Secretariat.
Gareth Sherman, ALAC representative from Norello.
Dave Kishandayal, I'm the NOMCOM appointee to the ALAC, the chairman of the ISOC Mauritius. Thank you.
Bonjour, Sébastien Bachelet, membre du board élu par vos soins, ce dont je vous remercie encore une fois.
Member of the board elected by you. Thank you.
Board member, pleased to be here.
I think everyone knows me, Olivier Crépin-Lavallon, ALAC chair.
I'm Heidi Ulrich, director for At Large.
Personally, I don't have a microphone, but Seth Green, I'm very happy to be at my first ICANN meeting in person. Nice to meet everyone.
Tijani Benjamin from Tunisia, ALAC member, and I am from Afralo.
Central Suknanan, Trinidad and Tobago Computer Society.
I am Aziz Hilary from Morocco and from Secretariat of Afralo.
Fatima Tassé Silla, Chair of Afralo from Senegal.
Urhe Lanshipur from Uralo.
Mohamed El Bashir, ISOC Sudan.
Rudy Van Snick from Uralo.
Sylvia Herling from Brazil, ALAC member from LACRALO.
Good morning, all. Cheryl Langdon Orr from AP RALO, and my ALS is ISOC AU.
Thank you very much. And I think we'll then move to the first part of our meeting, which is to do with the at-large improvements, a process which has started quite a while ago with the at-large review that was done a couple of years ago, came up with some recommendations which were then taken up by the ALAC and put into working teams that included all of the regions of at large. And the bottom-up process took place so as to come up with some recommendations which are slowly forming and coming together. We have some presentations to keep us up to date with what happened in the four working teams, A, B, C, and D. And I think, now, Seth, is the technical side ready for the presentations? Or?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, well, I think we'll start with that then. And
just pointing out that not only is our main screen not opening up the Adobe Connect room, but I'm challenging anyone's laptop to be doing it either. Can the tech guys find out what's happening with our bandwidth or whatever, because any remote participation is going to be all nigh impossible.
The ICANN tech staff is currently working on the Adobe Connect problem. They also, they're not able to display the chats in the Adobe Connect, so it's not able to embed them. They're currently working on that, and hopefully they will get it done quickly.
Okay, so I guess the presentations are out the window for the time being. We can have a local presentation, of course, on the other screen. So apologies to remote participants. As soon as this is being sorted out, they will be able to see the screen. We'll start with work team A here, and I ask who's going to give the presentation for work team A? Hiro? Okay, Hiro, you have the floor.
Thank you. And thank you, Olivier.
And Hiro, you have to say your name before you start.
Yes, Uriel Ansipuro.
Thank you.
Good morning to all. Work team A, if we can have the next slide. Yeah, we tackled the recommendations from the working group, recommendations 1, 10, and 11, that ICANN bylaws reflect ALAC continuing purpose. It's the home of individual internet users. One word is missing, individual internet users. And then a board statement recognizing the previous recommendation. This group was co-chaired by Evan and myself, and I would like, perhaps Evan can give some complementary information about the process, how we arrived to what we did. I think the if we have can have the next slide. Yeah, I think this is the main result of our work. This is a sort of expanded preambular text to replace what is now the fairly short text in section 2.4a about ALAC's and at large's purpose. And just take a minute to read it because it's quite long.
Do you wish to say it for
perhaps,
the record?
Perhaps, if I may, Olivier, Cheryl here, because of the recording and the translations, if someone could read it
sure,
to the record,
yeah.
It would be good.
So perhaps I read it. So this is the Article 11, Section 2.4a, as the work team A proposes. The At-Large Advisory Committee, ALAC, is the primary organizational home within ICANN for individual internet users. The role of the ALAC shall be to consider and provide advice on the activities of ICANN insofar as they relate to the interests of the individual internet users. This includes policies created through ICANN's supporting organizations, as well as the many other issues for which community input and advice is appropriate. The ALAC, which plays an important role in ICANN's accountability mechanisms, also coordinates some of ICANN's outreach to individual internet users. So basically in this article, or in this paragraph, the work team tried to include all the major recommendations of the work team concerning ALAC's purpose, and then, of course, adding the fact that this is the home, this is the primary home for individual internet users. We went through a few iterations on this, obviously, and ICANN legal department had its say. And what we have now reflects also the advice we got from ICANN's legal. Then another paragraph in the same section is 2.4j, and there one of these, that's J, was changed into the form. The ALAC is also responsible, working in conjunction with the RALOs, for coordinating the following activities: participating in the ICANN policy development processes and providing input and advice that accurately reflects the views of individual internet users. And finally, there's also, can we have the next slide? Yeah, finally, of course, the extension of ALAC's, of the term of ALAC chair to 2 years, to change the term length of the ALAC chair would require a change to the ALAC rules of procedure. And we noted that these rules should be reviewed also as a whole. So the proposal is that the ALAC should form a working group to conduct a complete review of its rules of procedure by the time of the next annual general meeting this year. This review should include a look at the role, selection process, and term length of the ALAC chair and vice chair. Thank you. And I don't know if Ivan would like to say something to complete this.
No, you've done fine. Essentially, this is an issue that the the ALAC internal procedures haven't been looked at for quite a while since most of the ALSs have joined, and it's probably appropriate now to have another look, especially as we're taking a greater role within ICANN.
Thank you very much, Yiro. Thank you very much, Evan. We will be opening the floor for questions. I think we'll do this at the end of the session, so as to be able to get through what we need to go through at the moment. Work Team B is currently in, doesn't have any presenters because one of the presenters, Fouad Bajoua, is still traveling and hopefully will arrive soon. The other is taken on another meeting at the moment. So what we'll have to do is to move Work Team B until after the break. And so we'll move swiftly on to Work Team C presentation. And I think I'll have my colleague Tejani Benchema to go through that presentation. We might need a couple of minutes to get the presentation on the screen, and I'm glad to hear that the Adobe Connect room seems to now function. In the meantime, I can also welcome Jean-Jacques Subrenin, who has arrived since we have started. And have I missed anyone else who hasn't introduced themselves? And Sergio Salinas. Sergio, could you please quickly introduce yourself, name and affiliation? And you can speak in Spanish or English or French if you wish to. Thank you.
Okay, muchas gracias.
Thank you, Olivier. I'm Sergio Salinas Porto. I represent Lacralo, and I do that jointly with Sylvia, and it's an honor for me to be joining here you here today. Thank you.
Gianni, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Olivier. So Work Team C is dealing with Recommendation 5 and 6. Recommendation 5 is ALAC should develop strategic and operational plans as part of the ICANN planning process. And Recommendation 6 is ATLAR should develop accurate cost models. So this page is the list of the members of this work team. Next page. So when we start working, we decided to do a SWOT analysis to perform this work. And SWOT is, as you know, stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Next page. So for the recommendation 5.1, which is consider scheduling regular meetings for ALAC's financial and budget subcommittee. So the working group proposed that the ALAC should reach a single annual statement of intent. Next page. Okay. So for the recommendation 5.1.1, identify any barriers. From the SWOT, we will use the weaknesses and the barriers defined in the SWOT to define the barriers. And the RALO's inputs have been integrated with the Work Team C one. So for the recommendation 5.1.1, the process, the current process. This is the current process. I will not read it. It's very small, but it is the flowchart, and it's thanks to Dev Anand that we performed it. He's very skilled in this kind of flowcharts. So this is what was used before this year. I will tell you the difference. Next slide. I will tell you the difference between what was used and what is used for 2012. So, for the previous one, the ICANN give guidelines, and then ALAC calls for strategic planning inputs from RALOs, and those inputs together with the inputs of the ALAC are integrated and sent to the board. This is the old. The new is that ICANN
give a draft of strategic planning, and ALAC review it and comment it, and together with the confirmed ICANN strategic planning plan, ALAC call for inputs from the RALOs, and the RALOs together with the ALAC inputs are integrated and then sent to the board. So if the board have questions, interrogations, then we will do the cycle again. So we will send the question to the RALOs, and we will comment it also in the ALAC, and then send all together to the board. This is the difference between the old and the new. Next slide, please. This was for the strategic planning, for the operational planning, or for the financial planning, let's say, for the financial planning. So the old way, or the previous way, was that ICANN calls for budget inputs from regions, from the ALAC, and ALAC will call the RALOs to give their inputs. Those inputs of the RALOs together with the inputs of the ALAC will be integrated and sent to the ALAC financial department. And if the ALAC financial department agree, it is no problem. If they don't agree, it will be the same. I am using a wrong charter. It was the old one. For the new process, if the ICANN finance don't agree to give funds, they have to give us why they don't agree, and if we accept those reasons, it's okay. If we don't accept, we will send them other inputs so that they will reconsider and we redo the cycle. This is the difference between the two processes. Next slide. Okay. So for the recommendation 5.2, consider scheduling regular meetings of ALAC of ALAC's financial and budget subcommittee. For the operational planning, regular meetings are planned already, and the SWOT analysis may reveal more suggestions. So moving forward, what is the next step? To complete the SWOT, answer each at-large improvement implementation report questions and recommendations from the SWOT results, and final report describing action items and new processes. That's all.
Thank you very much, Tijani. So the next presentation is going to be from Work Team D. But in the meantime, I can also tell you that there is constant reference to recommendation 5.111, 5.2, etc. And for those who are not in the know, this might be a bit cryptic. If you go to the work team pages on the Confluence wiki, which is community.icann.org/something-else-something-else, go over to the ALAC, go to the work teams. You will find links to all of the documents that we refer to, including a link to a simplified at-large improvements outline. And that has actually taken each one of the recommendations and sliced them up into sections which are referenced with those numbers 5.111, et cetera, et cetera. So it actually does make sense. Are we ready with Work Team D? Yeah, there we are. And I'm not sure who is the presenter for Work Team D. Would be Dev. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Good morning.
If I can just remind everyone to say their name when they start speaking. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. My name is Devananti Luxing, chair of the At Large Improvement Work Team D. The work team was to try to come up with proposals for the ALAC for implementing recommendations 8. ELAC may request a public comment period to be extended to 45 days. Recommendation 12, consumer representatives should have input into decisions and policy advice. And recommendation 13, ELAC and at-large policy advice mechanisms should be strengthened. Next slide. So when we start looking at recommendation 13, which was the review of the at-large policy advice development processes, there were no formal documentation of the policy advice development process. But this was an opportunity for us to develop a detailed flowchart of the policy advice development process, and this is to better document and understand the steps that ELAC and at-large should take when responding to a policy deadline for comments. Next slide. So here are some of the proposals for recommendation 13. The policies should be available in at least English, Spanish, and French at the start of the public comment period. The deadline for the public comment period on a policy can be longer than 30 days. And one of the objectives when you're trying to come up with the policy, the PAD process, I should say, is that we try to make it as flexible as possible to allow ELAC and at-large the flexibility of following concurrent policy advice development processes, because typically there's usually several policies out for comment at the same time. Next slide. Also, additional proposals for recommendation 13, ELAC should establish a policy review committee, or PRC, and this will review current and upcoming ICANN policies out for comment, as well as policy issues raised by at-large. And the idea here is that the policy review committee will be a standing committee comprising of the ELAC rapporteur, the ELAC liaisons to the various ACs and SOs and cross-constituency working groups, and at least two representatives from each RALO, and the two representatives are not necessarily just the RALO chair and secretariat. The intention here is to try to make the process, policy advice development process, more of a bottoms-up process rather than a top-down process where ELAC is striving to do the policy advice. So the idea also is that ALSs and at-large could also submit policies for consideration by ELAC and not just simply follow ICANN's policies out for public comment. Next slide. With regards to recommendation 8, regarding the extended consultation window, some of the proposals are that the requested extension can be for any number of days, not just the stipulated 15 days in the recommendation. And ELAC should be able to also to request extensions at various stages of the policy advice development process. An additional proposal is that the ICANN staff team establish and maintain a policy publish schedule. I think it's back. Okay. Great. As I was saying, the ICANN staff team will establish and maintain a policy published schedule. So each entry in the policy published schedule will have the policy name, an excerpt of what the policy is about, the supporting organization or AC responsible, and a tentative date for completion before translation is done. This staff team will comprise the ICANN staff persons assigned to the various ACs and SOs, and also include the language services manager to plan for the needed policy translations. The intention here is so that the language services manager can monitor the policy published schedule, see what policies are coming up, and then allocate translation resources accordingly. And the ELAC and the Policy Review Committee can then use this policy published schedule to track scheduling and to decide on the policy statements to follow and earlier. So the next slide. And what we've tried to do here is show some flowcharts to illustrate these proposals. The first flowchart is the Policy Review Committee. You may have to on your computer zoom in on this because there's a lot of text. But essentially, the Policy Review Committee reviews the policy published schedule and any policy issues raised by the ELOs and ELSs. And essentially, it's a loop. Is there a policy on the policy published schedule or raised by at-large that the PRC should review? Yes. Then the PRC and ELAC decide on how to respond to the policy issue concern. And then ELAC via the PRC implements those recommendations. And it could be a variety of options available, be it to start a policy advice development process, draft a statement to the board.
Dev?
Yep.
A bit slower, please.
Slow?
Translators.
Oh, okay. I know it's a lot of material. I'll try to. Thanks. So some of the recommendations that can be done, start a policy advice development process, request ICANN staff for a briefing, submit a request to GNSO for issues of report, or even decide that this is not within our remit and we should not take on this policy. So next slide. And this is a slide which is going to be very big, and I don't think so you're going to have to then zoom into this. It is a detailed flowchart.
I think this needs to be zoomed in 6,400%.
That's right.
I just think that we need, Cheryl speaking, just need to break for a moment and explain to the listening audience that what we're looking at goes on for about a metre down the page. It is a reflection of the complexity of the policy development commentary process. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Cheryl. And so, I just wanted to go through it, hopefully not in detail, because you should be able to just scroll down and follow the process, and if not, then probably we need more improvements to this flowchart. But the intention is that the policy advice development process can be divided up in several stages based on the time at which certain actions must be taken. So if you look at that, so that's why there's a dotted line and there's a timeline saying at most 10 days after a public comment period is launched and so forth. So for example, you have before the policy is available for comment, you know, ICANN publishes the policy, everybody in at large is notified. And then when you scroll down, you see what has the sequence of steps that have to occur at least 10 days after the policy has been after the policy is available for public comment. So you have to. So ELAC should then have to make several decisions within this. By the most 10 days, ELAC should have decided on whether to comment on the policy, and if it's yes, should ELAC request an extension? And if so, start the extension request process. What type of working group? Do we create a new working group or use an existing working group? And whether we need a briefing call on this on the policy issue. But the intention is by most 10 days, all of these decisions have been made, and ELAC and at-large, at-large is notified of the decisions made. The second stage is at most 9 days, at least 9 days before the end of the public comment period. And in trying to do this, we've introduced two variables, variable Y and variable X. Y is the length of the public comment period, which, again, may not be 30 days. It can be 45 days or whatever. And X is the number of days that the policy is extended by. Let me just zoom it myself. So, essentially, at least 9 days before the policy is done, the idea is that the working group drafts its comments, gets feedback, holds its meetings, and can relate to ELAC to whether to request an extension for its comments. And by the end of at least 9 days before the end of the public comment period, whether it's extended or not, the at-large working group would have produced its final comments for ELAC to vote on. So the third part of the spreadsheet, the flowchart, as I say, ELAC starts to vote at least 7 calendar days before the deadline, and at least 1 day before the deadline for the policy comment period, the results of the vote are taken, and if it's positive, then it's transmitted as a public comment. So that's the PAD process in a nutshell. The next slide talks about how ELAC may request a public comment period be extended for X number of days. So essentially, and again, you may have to zoom in for this, at the start of the extension request process, ELAC decides on a number of days it's going to request an extension for. If it sends a request to ICANN, ICANN then either sends approves or disapproves, and if it approves, then the extension of our period is now added to it, to the total time it takes for the public comment period. If not, ELAC then has to decide whether you want to stick to the 30-day comment period or not. And if it decides not, then it has to either decide whether it wants to write to the ICANN board or not. So it's a lot of decisions that have to be made in all of this. It should be straightforward. And again, if it's not, then we have to make some improvements on this. So the next slide. So with recommendation 13.2, regarding strengthening the policy development processes within the SOs and ACs for requesting and considering ELAC input. With regard to the GNSO, well, we know that we already have an ELAC non-voting liaison to the GNSO, and the GNSO policy development process allows for ELAC representatives to join the GNSO working groups. With regards to the CCNSO, we have both an ELAC liaison to the CCNSO and also a CCNSO liaison to the ELAC. And we note that the final report from the CCNSO review, which is hyperlinked there in the presentation, contains several recommendations, particularly 1, 5, 6, and 12, which are relevant to this recommendation 13.2. And finally, with regard to the ASO, there are no liaisons to the ASO, but given that the RIRs, the Regional Internet Registries, allow for participation in their policy development processes, one of the proposals would be to encourage RELOs and ALSs in the RIR's PDP processes. Next slide. And regards to recommendation 12, outreach related to consumer representatives to and at large, and consumer representatives to GNSO. One of the proposals we are working on is to create a consumer outreach document for use by at large in their outreach efforts to get consumer organizations involved in ICANN. And a third draft of this consumer outreach document has been produced. And so next slide, just to acknowledge the work team D members, whose input has been very greatly appreciated. And I would like to thank them all and ask for questions and comments.
Thank you very much, Devon Antilung Singh. Very interesting and very comprehensive presentation here. Just before we move to the next part of this discussion, I just wanted to check if everyone has their USB stick with all of the documents on them. If anybody doesn't have them, they can ask Heidi, and we have plenty additional spare ones. All of those documents are available on the USB stick. And now I shall give the floor over to Cheryl to find out what happens now. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. Cheryl Langdon all speaking. I wonder, though, I know we have not had Work Team B's presentation as yet. Would there be any questions while they're fresh in people's minds that might need to be raised before we get into discussion?
Perhaps yes. That probably is the next thing that we should do then. Okay. Yeah.
So perhaps if you're happy for me to do the help with the Q&A, I would
Absolutely. Okay. Started Olaf, thank you.
Okay. Well, working on either, you've got the chairs and co-chairs of each of the work teams here, and there's a considerable amount of, in some cases, quite complex work that's been presented. I would be very surprised if there was no questions or discussion points that need to be raised around the table. So perhaps if we just open the floor for any questions or discussion points on any of the presentations. And that includes, of course, from our audience. If anyone wishes to come forward from the chairs, and I know that the chair of the EALAC was not happy to have the back rows behind him. He had intended and may, over the next couple of days, manage to get at least some chairs in each of the side bays here. He is most concerned that you're seeing perhaps not his best angle. But we are open and inclusive, so if there's any questions or issues, we'll just ask you to indicate. I'll wave at him, we'll recognise you, and we'll just move you forward to a microphone. From the floor, any questions or pieces of discussion to be raised on any of the presentations? Go ahead, Carlton.
Thank you, Cheryl. For the purposes of this discussion, I would just want to make a couple of comments, especially with respect to the work team D. The issues that have brought out there should have highlighted a couple of things. First of all, it is desperately trying to move the policy advice process to the edge. That is a major objective. And if you don't look at the details of the flow charts, just kind of close your eyes and look at it from afar, you can see that what the work team is trying to do is to push the process to the edge. And that involves bringing in the ALSs and the RALOs in a more constructive way into the policy development schedule. This is a difficult thing. This is something we've been trying for ever since I've been NICAN to develop. I would urge members to look at the flowchart. And perhaps as you look at the flowchart in kind of a critical analysis of it, look at the areas where you see the attempt is being made to push the schedule a little further out and think of ways that we can strengthen the return side of it, because that has always been the issue, the return side of it. And what the flowchart does is gives us a very handy way of kind of visualizing what needs to happen to make it a little more effective. That's the first one. In the second instance, you should appreciate that we're always running up against a timeline in developing this. And perhaps what the work team has tried to do is to get the edge involved at the earliest time. That is what it appears to be trying to do. In the best world, there are always going to be challenges to get that timeline satisfied everywhere. Again, I would urge members to look at the timelines that are associated with the return process and see what you can do to strengthen that or to qualify it a little further. I think this is a very, very important piece of work. I think the documentation is detailed, and it is a good platform from which we can develop and enhance and strengthen the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton. Looking around, not seeing anybody waving frantically at me. Ah, good, go ahead. Edmund.
Thank you, Cheryl. Just one question first. So do we use the Adobe room to raise hands or physically raise hands? Because I see Evan raising hands. I don't know whether, but I'll continue first. I guess I probably should have been more up to speed on a lot of the work team discussions, but unfortunately I'm not. I'm just wondering, I jotted down a number of items that I sort of want to ask. I don't know whether it should raise now or, you know, this is more a... Okay. Because I don't know how far we've gone, but instead of going back everything, I'll just mention a few observations. In the Team A report, I jotted down a couple of things. I recognize that it says that ALEC plays a sort of some role in the outreach. I think perhaps that could be strengthened a little bit. I don't understand why we're not included in all of, in one way, shape, or form in terms of outreach. I think it's generally important. The other part is it was going by fast. I was trying to type, and something that says that we would that our advice accurately reflects the user's point of view. I'm just a little bit worried about accurate. I think we'll try our best to reflect their concerns. I'm not sure whether we should always say accurate. What if it's not accurate at some point? Then does all the other things fail? So that's one thing. And then jumping to Work Team D, I was wondering if the Work Team looked at how other ACs provide policy advice to policies. I sort of observed that some of them don't really limit themselves to the public comment period, and whether that's something that we need to look into and perhaps even suggest as to be included in even some changes to bylaws. Because there are a number of items. I think there are issues that may be of critical concern for us that would require a little bit more time or may not be most appropriate for us to express in the public comment email thing that ICANN conducts. Off the top of my head, looking at how GAC responds to certain issues, looking at how SSAC responds to certain issues, I wonder if that was taken into consideration. I think, for example, SSAC puts out these papers that may not be in the public comment period, but it certainly does affect a lot of the policy discussions at ICANN, and whether we should look into that types of models as well and not confine ourselves to the 30-45 day periods that we're talking about. So.
Okay. Before I move to Evan, and I apologise, looking this way, I just didn't see the Adobe Connect room. And you might, Evan, when you're talking, respond to some of what Edmund raised, particularly with a view of the more general role of at large versus the specific AC role that the ALAC has. We always have the AC cards to play. We are an advisory committee and we advise the board. That's, it. But what we were concerned about with the recommendations from our at large improvements was to better bring in the at large component in the public participation in ICANN. So, yes, we did consider it, but rather than just be what we were, if we look historically, which was 15 people pontificating and pretending they knew what several billion knew, wanted and desired, at least pushing this out to the edges is working better in a multi-stakeholder bottom-up model. We still, of course, still have an AC role, which I guess can be slightly stand apart. But in the bylaws, as Evan will pick up on, there is what the role of the RALOs and why we need those edge communities involved dealt with as well. Dev, did you want to respond to any of those questions?
Can't think of anything more than what you've said, so Cheryl, thanks.
And somebody's got their speaker on in the AC room. Evan?
Hi there. I had my hand up to raise a different issue, but I'll address Edmund's your comments about specifically what Work Team A had done. And you mentioned, why is it mentioned that we're involved in some aspects of outreach, but not all? And one of the things, one of the more interesting parts of the adventure of working on writing an ICANN bylaw is dealing with things such as ICANN legal, that has had a hand in things and has pretty well told us that while we can come up with wording, ICANN legal is the custodian and sort of has the last word on things. We've you know, the results of the bylaw change that you saw on the screen was subject of substantial negotiations back and forth. In fact, one of the issues I was going to raise is the fact that the recommendation that ALAC had actually passed at a previous meeting of how this bylaw should look is actually somewhat different from the last version you saw on the screen. And that's been because of some negotiations that have gone back and forth, some things that that ALAC wanted to put into that bylaw that ICANN Legal said they were not comfortable with. And we, in fact, will probably take the fact that ICANN Legal is going to present this bylaw change to the Structural Improvements Committee, send it out for public comment. And it's been strongly suggested, and I think we'll follow up with it, that ALAC will put in a specific public comment saying we wanted this to go further in a couple of ways. And so what you see on the screen there is the result of the negotiation that went back and forth between Work Team A and ICANN Legal on a number of occasions. And this is what Legal is comfortable with. But when this goes out to public comment, we will we'll definitely have something to say on things that we would like it to have been a bit more inclusive about.
Thank you. And if I might just pick up on one of the points that Edmund raised as well. One of the issues that we needed to, which, and I was involved in each of the work teams, Cheryl speaking for the record, I'm sorry. Each of the work teams took great pains to look at not just how ALAC as an advisory committee does this, but how it can benefit the at-large community and the involvement in public policy development and the multi-stakeholder model, particularly with how the other parts of ICANN, whose job it is to do policy development processes, the SOs, as we're out of sync with our recommendations and our reviews. We've got GNSO at a certain stage from its review process, now only just at a point with a much more open working group model. Because we had a predictability about what the end point was likely to be from a new GNSO open working group model out of its implementation from its review, we had the advantage of integrating to some extent where we knew other parts of ICANN were heading. The same was to be said for the CCNSO review. When we were able to look at the report and final report, there was a degree of predictability that the work teams could say, ah, this is what the review process is suggesting to the CCNSO. There is a likelihood that their implementation will go in this direction. Therefore, we will be proactive. And I guess it's changing to a proactive rather than a reactive model that could be labelled across much of what our implementation of our ALAC review is all about. Because we really have been chasing our tail up until now, and certainly the work from Work Team D, and do not be put off by the mathematical modelling that runs down the side. It's all about giving predictability and allowing an edge community, an at-large structure, to have a model that it can say, if I meet with my executive three times a year, I realise that there is points in between those meeting times that I'm going to be asking my community to gather information, discuss things and give feedback in that return cycle that Carlton was referring to. So the moment, you know, people put up billboards and we hope someone will throw something at it. We do it, sometimes they do. Quite often we've all seen the public comment periods when literally no responses happen. Now, is that then a valid model for ICANN to be holding up as, you know, a great way of involving public participation? Perhaps not. And we're blessed to have Jean-Jacques Soubranet join the ALAC now, and having been a very integral part of both the ALAC review and of the CCNSO review, and of course having chaired the Public Participation Committee, we have the benefit, I think, of getting it right and being a best practice model for a genuine step forward in proactivity rather than reactivity. Is there any other questions, and do I have any? Yes, back to you, Edmund.
Yeah, this is Edmund again. Just want to clarify that, you know, I raised these issues as the presentations was done. I probably should have gone back. I just want to clarify. Sure. I think it the in general, just want to let people know that I think those are great work that's being done. I just don't want it to come across the wrong way.
I'm sure it didn't. Evan, do you still have your hand up? Or okay, over to you. Over to you. Hong?
Thank you, Sharon. Edmund, just remind me of a question I attempted to ask. It's about Work Team A, how to accurately reflect the user's will. that's a very interesting document. I fully agree that it's a difficult task to change the bylaw, which is a legal document. I fully agree with Evan that ICANN Legal has final words on that. So my first question is that whether that word, accuracy, accurately was recommended by ICANN Legal or it was drafted by Work Team A. Oh, I raised this because it relates to my second question. They may involve a kind of accountability issue. So whether the reflection of inner user's will is accurate or not, who is going to check the accuracy? That would be a very interesting scenario indeed. I remember in the process of discussion, of course, I admit that my involvement with Work Team A's wonderful work is very limited, so I was not following the full discussion. But I remember in the early day we talked about whether we should sufficiently reflect the user community's will. But of course, this wording is kind of my lawyer's hobby to stare at. This is a minor issue for you to consider.
One that we do need to address, and I'll go to the co-chair. Yogi?
Yeah, I agree with both Ed and Hua. I think that there should be something as accurately as possible, or whatever. But of course, as Evan said, I mean there is still the public comment period to come, and I think that we have a chance to correct these minor points. Thanks.
Just on that, I think what we need to also advise the ALAC. Remember what we're talking here in our table, we have our regional leaders and the ALAC members in discussion. It's pivotal that the regional leadership have ownership of these outcomes because without, as you can see, the new models involve much more active involvement in various committees, various decision-making processes. It's a time-critical set of issues, particularly from the work that Work Team D has put out, that the regional work is going on well enough in advance so that in those 10-day before close of public comment windows, we know whether there is a desire or a need for more time to be asked for. So it is a very new way of working, but it is perhaps, I think, a best effort at making a measurable multi-stakeholder model as opposed to what is an assumed multi-stakeholder model. So many of us, when we stand up and articulate at the microphone, have to state who we are talking on behalf of, and nearly all of the time we are talking on our own behalf. What these models are trying to do is give some measurability to what does it mean when an at-large structure that has 11,000 members makes a statement. What does that mean? How can that contribute? What weighting or otherwise should that opinion be given as we, the at-large advisory committee, integrate that? Because diversity is what we're going to be challenged with. it's very unlikely that we're going to have, in many situations, a single unified global voice of agreement on any topic. We can't have least developed and most developed countries coming up with a perfect agreement on some aspects of what we're going to be challenged with in the next few years, for example, in the new GTLD process. So what ALAC is going to need to do is integrate and balance and properly present a diversity of view and give clear advice as to how strong and how much energy and weight is behind those views. Because if it's 15 people sitting in a room, that's vastly different to 15,000 in a particular set of countries holding a view very strongly. And if we have that, it gives us some predictability, because if 15,000 people have a particular view, my guess is the government probably will from those countries as well. So we're going to hear it from the other advisory committees later on in the process. But rather than looping back and slowing things down, which is something ICANN has been somewhat guilty of, I'm sure we'll all agree, we may, by getting involved, all of the advisory committees, Edmund, having ESSAC, having GAC, not as advisory committees, but members of them, involved earlier, even in the PDB process, in GNSO work, in the cross-constituency work groups that we've seen. If we look at what the Accountability and Transparency Review Team was recommending on changes in this area, we also have a possibility of an iterative process where it's not a open and close in public comments, but people can have the benefit of reacting to other people's public comments and then putting in final. So it becomes more of a debate. There's a phase one iteration and a phase two iteration. And we know those changes are going to hopefully happen. And I think these models, all credit to the regional leadership who made these work teams happen, we will be able to integrate and fit in on this. What we need to do is look at where we're going to now, and the ALAC has to take these recommendations from the work teams and do something with them. So, Olivier, how did you want us to proceed?
First, I just wanted to comment quickly on what you just said. I think the process is particularly important, the process to be inclusive and to gather all of the voices worldwide is particularly important, and I'm very glad that this is taking place here. And certainly the work that has been done demonstrates that it's not only the usual suspects that will have a voice, but actually everyone, and especially the edges, because it is where the edges are the ones who are supposed to have the voice here. So that's one thing. The other thing, and I think that this is a comment on what you've just said, the reduction of the incidence of silos is something particularly important. And silo is the word that we're looking for in there through the cross-constituency working group process, which certainly helps tackle problems a lot earlier on rather than sweeping them under the carpet and waiting until it stinks the room out. Back to you, Cheryl. I'm not sure how we move forward from here, and perhaps you can tell us, or should we let Seth tell us?
Well, I was going to toss to Seth. I'm not going to let him come to his first ICANN meeting, meet us all, greet us all, and then not work his heart out. He's got to earn his keep, that's for certain. I recognise Sebastian at the moment, though. Go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian Bachelet. I would like to share with you that it's important that one part of your work about public comment must be shared with staff you will meet later today with Felice Hilsmaes, because the board, the public participation committee is working on some issue linked with that, and it's important to not have a silo with you thinking in one way and others thinking in another way. Then it's important. And it's also one of the reasons, I guess, my friend for the board and myself are here also. It's to try to fill those gaps if this gap could exist. Then it's important that you share that, because, for example, we staff came with the idea that maybe we need to have two periods for comments to allow answer for the first comment period. Then we have to see how it could fit with also
your specificity, because it's at large, it's a quite specific organization within ICANN. And it's important, and I am happy the answer given by Evan about the bylaw. If you think that there is no possibility for you to input because the process is not done well, feel free to send it to me, even if I am not a liaison, or to any other board member. That's your choice, but I will be happy to receive them, because I think that even if you don't have any more a liaison to the board, I think it's important that your thoughts came directly to the board if needed, and I am happy to do this role if you wish. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. And I must say it's heartening to many of us who've been involved in At Large since its interim and indeed pre-interim days to see so many board members just come into the room. I've noticed one or two sitting in the back stalls and coming out and going in again. Just to, you know, we are in fact having people come in and go, what is the Edge communities talking about? What are the Edge communities doing? And that's smart. The reason it's smart is unless you know early, you'll find out too late. And it's what's happening with several of the advisory committees, where because of the silo base that we've grown from, we do work in our own little spaces and don't recognise early enough where critical issues need to be discussed. Sebastian, I think we also need to recognise that our issues on communications policy, ICANN-wide, are going through much more change since we've had the ALAC review than when the ALAC review was run. So there are a number of points that the ALAC needs to recognise as particular points in our flowchart, things that were recommended in our review, where we have got an implementable written down. Many of the work teams have been able to say, these are no longer issues that are affecting ALAC and at large that need fixing by ALAC and at large, because ICANN is changing its modality and methodologies. Some of the collaboration tools are examples here. The communications and languages policy are examples here. When we had our review, it was in an appalling condition, but the work that the Public Participation Committee and, of course, our language services people have been doing since then have overtaken what were identified barriers to our community's involvement in ICANN. So there's a number of tick boxes that we can say have been dealt with. For example, back to you in a moment, Sebastian, one specific recommendation we basically can ignore, because there is no need to have a financial base contract between ICANN and our staff, because the way that the ICANN budget and strategic planning is now done is more interactive and allows for greater communication, check, cross-check and information sharing. So where that was a particular recommendation, events have overtaken us. Back to you, Sebastian.
Yeah, I wanted to add one point. It's about cross-constituency working group. I see a potential difficulty we need to work on. If we take the example of the jazz group, where it's quite complicated for the working group itself, with two sponsoring organizations, chartering organization, sorry, and I see that as a potential risk in this cross-constituency working groups, and I think you need, as one of the organization who wish, and that's good, to participate to this to those working group to think how it could be solved to avoid the too much tension and saying, I have to be the leader, you have to be the leader, or we don't want to work anymore together because there is no rules. In the same time, I think it's important, I take this opportunity because I will not be participating to all your meetings, unfortunately, to thank the work done by the at-large representative or participant to this jazz working group. It's a very important piece of work for the new GTLD program, and I encourage you to really participate and finalize the work this working group have to do, even if it's in a quite complex environment currently. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. And I think it's important to make it clear for the record that we also have alternate models within our cross-community work groups with very different outcomes. The one you outlined, the JAS, we have two chartering organisations, which is different to what modelling was done between the CCNSO, the GNSO, the ALAC, and with the GAC and SSAC support on the domain name Security, Stability and Resilience cross-community work group, where a work team put together a draft charter which was then adopted by all the organisations. So even in the same time frame, we've had two very different models being used. Perhaps it will be intelligent of us all to select the most adaptive model and develop from that. So that is fairly important. Alan, go ahead.
Just to be clear, that basically was followed within the JAS model. The GNSO rejected it, the uniform charter. So we did try.
Indeed, we did. Sometimes change can be painful. It's called growing pains. Where to now? There are some things that now have to be done, and this is where Seth's going to earn his keep. These recommendations, and we still need to look at the presentation from our work team B, are coming back to the ALAC. The magic now has to happen, and it has to happen on a particular time course, doesn't it, Seth? Over to you.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. The next steps coming up, let me just start by saying when they're all over, at-large and ALAC will be happily the first group, the first constituency to actually complete its improvements plan. So I think that's quite a milestone. And especially as a tribute to the work teams and their co-chairs, this only 6 months after they had their first meetings in September. So I think that's very worth noting. The next steps, very briefly, will be, and if we start this week, the work teams will take the feedback that they're getting right now, go back and incorporate them into their proposals to the ALAC, and then we'll present their final proposals in a much quicker fashion on Thursday during the wrap-up. As far as the next steps beyond that go, there is still a little more work to be done. We're pretty much on course to finish up as expected at the end of March, perhaps a bit into the next month. And in the long term, though, much of the work is ongoing. Probably, I would say, with the exception of Work Team A and the amendments to the bylaws, every other work team is going to be making proposals that will require an ongoing vigilance and maintenance. So I think that's probably important to note, only after, of course, I've gotten the applause for being the first constituency to finish the improvements. But as far as what I can say is that as far as Work Team A goes and the bylaw changes, they're going to be on course to be signed off by the board, hopefully approved in the Singapore meeting. And we've pinged Samantha Eisner in legal but haven't gotten an answer back yet. We've gotten an answer back. What is that, Heidi?
Yeah, so the SIC will be meeting this afternoon, and she will inform us on whether they have approved the bylaw change PC to go on to the board for adoption this Friday, and then we'll have 30 days of a PC for that.
Unless, Deb, we take one of your suggested entry points for an extension. And that's basically the next steps. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Seth. One thing just struck me, because people were pinging me, and having the drip not happening when Skype, you've got to keep looking to your screen to see whether people are pinging you or not. There is, of course, from Work Team D, Devon, I don't think you mentioned it, the issue we raised on the difference between working days and calendar days. This is particularly important and something that the Public Participation Committee has also addressed. Perhaps, Jean-Jacques, would you care to give us the advice where the Public Participation Committee was heading on this issue?
Thank you, Cheryl. Yes. Obviously, the Public Participation Committee has continued over the past 3 months working on this and other subjects, so I'm not aware of that. But where we were a few months ago is that we had asked staff to make an overall assessment in various regions of the world on this notion of working days. And staff came back to us as long as a year ago, actually, with a finding that for all sorts of reasons, we should keep the term 15 working days as the basis. So I don't think that this or any other committee should attempt to define another policy. I think we should align ourselves with what staff has found to be the most operational.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Can we then make sure that Work Team D has integrated that in its recommendations to the ALAC so we are unified or harmonised or whatever word we want to use, so we're in sync with what we know is then going to be continued on from ICANN. Calling for any last questions. How close are we to our coffee break? Are we perilously close? No?
I think Seth wants to.
Seth wants? Oh, I don't know.
Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Cheryl. Heidi was just actually pointing out to me that the news is even a bit better than I suggested. It's not just the bylaw amendments from Work Team A that will hopefully be finalized in Singapore. Hopefully, actually, when I say the improvements project is ending, that's when hopefully the board will sign off on the at-large ALAC's entire improvements project and final report, and we'll be closing up shop. Thanks.
We're not closing up shop, perhaps.
Except for implementation, obviously, which is going to be ongoing.
I'm a little excited. It's my first ICANN meeting.
I think you're just excited to see the end of your current project management. I think what would be useful then is for the ALAC to consider at part of its agenda, if not at this meeting in the next month, some serious preparatory work on this, because we do need to allow the ALAC representatives from some of the regions to take their regional advice in a timely manner. I've been watching, for example, the Lacralo, Andreas, the Lacralo list has been talking about how timely or otherwise the advice from your region is going to your representatives. I think if we can start being very proactive. So I think it's up to the ALAC to make sure it gets onto our agenda early enough for enough time to be given for this proper regional advice to come back, because it would be the ALAC to vote. What we have here, and I think we also need to recognise this in our reporting to the Structural Improvements Committee and the Board, is something slightly different to what we've seen the other review processes do in the GNSO, and I assume also perhaps will be in the CNSO as well. We have not, as a council or committee, discussed our implementation, decided what we think is a good idea, and then ask for constituency or community involvement. The work teams that have come up with these implementation plans are the EDGE communities. They're not even run by the regional leadership. They're run by at-large structures, the at-large EDGE user community that we are supposed to, after all, integrate, facilitate and represent. So we should expect a lot of buy-in, because we've gathered the information from the edges in a very good multi-stakeholder model. So I don't suggest that ALAC should do little more than rubber stamp these recommendations. We do need to do the proper due diligence and see that we're not creating some problems. You know, sometimes when you make a change, other things happen. We need to look very carefully at that. But I'm very comforted by the fact that we should not have a situation where anyone is surprised with any of the implementation plans. And we also have some very new models coming out where we've got more direct involvement from ALS representatives and regional representatives in standing ALAC committees. So, again, when we come for review in the next ALAC and at-large review, where the current review said leave our tri-layered structure alone, we may have already started to metamorphose into a slightly different type of butterfly. So we might already be blurring those three hard lines that we currently have. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. As an example of the involvement of regions into subcommittees, there's obviously the recent one of addition of people on the Finance and Budget subcommittee, particularly important for projects to be pushed forward and for having your input in the financial year, 13, I guess, now, since the 12th has been sent out. I think we just have no other questions, so we'll have... Oh, Sebastian?
Yes, sorry, I will have to leave to other meetings, but I wanted to say a few things about the GTLD program, and just because I am not the voice of the board, but you will, I don't know when and how, but you will learn that tomorrow and on Wednesday there will be a public forum where you will be asked to give feedback on some issue in front of the board today on the GTLD program. And as you have seen, all the schedule of this meeting changed quite a bit. And I would like to recommend you that even if you may have to change your own schedule, you be ready to participate. I am sure you will. Tomorrow and on Wednesday on the public forum about the new GTLD. It's all around the scorecard discussed in Brussels between the GAC and the board, and from my point of view, it's very important the input of the community and the input of the end user in this discussion tomorrow and on Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. And we will now have a half an hour, actually less than half an hour, 34-minute break until 11 o'clock. The coffee is being served on the mezzanine floor, which is one floor underneath. There are stairs to access it, or for those who want to use the lifts, they're just around the corner. I always get it wrong. I don't know if it's left or right when you leave the door. But we can leave our things here. Thank you. Well, we, of course, we don't know if they will be here when you get back. But, but you can leave them.